we do want the opportunity for questions, and anyone who's heard Peter speak will know that he shoots from the hip, that he will be quite handsome here. That means we have to turn the mic off, so be it. But I would like to introduce Peter Thompson from Gloucesters.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Is that okay? Can you hear me? Thanks for inviting me to this group that I've known for 30-odd years of my teaching career. And I'm pleased to be here. And I think it's important that we acknowledge you for giving up your time, as teachers do. It never seems to make the front page of the newspapers, but you know, these sorts of things go on all over the state, as you know, as teachers. Now, I was down in Albury at the weekend with 20-odd teachers running a course as well. You know, people giving up their family time to learn things for their students and colleagues. So, congratulations and thanks for doing that. My problem is that I can't stand still and talk, so sorry about the video for those people who may be watching it by streaming. I'm not sure that by the end of tonight you're going to be disappointed or not, but I'm hoping that you're not. And I think most of that will be about some of the other things I have to say about, not necessarily curriculum, but the sort of things that I'm privy to or have researched over time that in the end helps me do my job at the board at BOSTES. So I've talked about, you know, implications, opportunities and some hypotheticals. And the hypotheticals are important because, in the end, the decision of all this is not made by me, and it's not really affected by this that everybody's quite passionate about. The endorsement of the extra curriculum that ACARA has produced, and the endorsement by the Council of Ministers, which means the education ministers from each state and territory come together, and in September they came together, and some of us would say finally, after a lot of revision of the ACARA documents based on the review that happened last year under Christopher Pine, they finally endorsed the curriculum. But that curriculum is broad. PE is one of them, PDHPE. Technologies, of course, the reason you're here. But other syllabuses are endorsed as well, and there's even some changes, as you'd be aware, to English, Math, Science and History that are already implemented in New South Wales. And that current implementation is something that I'll refer to a few times during the night, just like the current implementation of Stage 6 Australian curriculum in New South Wales. And we all need to be aware of that for a number of reasons, and remind me if I don't get back to those reasons. So, okay, the minister's endorsed it, but that doesn't mean that next year we're teaching it. Because the way it works is the jurisdictional issues in Australia are based on the Australian Constitution, and states and territories are responsible for the implementation of curriculum in their schools. So New South Wales has a process under the Education Act that stipulates the sort of things we do. So this is actually from ACARA's website, and it's how it works. So as much as some states, Queensland in particular, one of our largest states, is basically taking the Australian curriculum, rebadging it as their own, and out it goes. Victoria and New South Wales won't do that because we have syllabus documents that are different to what ACARA produces. That's the first thing. We have outcomes, they have achievement standards. So we have things in the Education Act that make a syllabus document different to what ACARA produces. And that's in all learning areas. So if I focus in on the digital technology subject, what's in that document we would perhaps embed into a New South Wales curriculum, a New South Wales syllabus. That's the way it works, and it will take, well, some time to do that. Now, who makes those sorts of decisions? The BOSTES do. The Board of Studies, Teaching and Educational Standards are 23 independent people, recommend to the minister, and the minister gets to make that announcement. Sadly, Peter Thompson doesn't get to make that announcement. The minister gets to make that announcement. Now, the reason I'm a little bit nervous is there's a board meeting tomorrow. And I would love to be speaking to you on Friday of this week. But the board meeting's tomorrow, so any decisions that need to be made by the board, of course, are the privilege of the board, because they have to weigh everything into account and make decisions about curriculum directions in this state. But again, hopefully by the end of the evening, when I go through some of the other things that I've been talking about at conferences over the last 5 years, you may be at ease. So the minister makes the decision. They have to, in New South Wales then, follow a syllabus development process, and that can cost a lot of money. When I left the office today, Kerry Sheen was also heading out to Parramatta to do a consultation on stage 6. I told you I'd get back to it. So it's happening right now, this model of syllabus development that we have embedded in Education Act New South Wales 1990, that a syllabus development process has to take place, and it must include the full range of stakeholders. Now, Kerry's off to do a consultation. There's at the moment, he's looking after physics, chem, bio, earth and environmental. He's got over 90 science teachers down at Parramatta RSL, and he's running a consultation process on the first stage of this process. Let me just finish off that stuff. These are the people who are on the board. No matter what school you're in, you have access to these people, because they represent the full breadth of education in New South Wales, K through to university. There's university reps, there's representatives from all the various unions, there's representatives of parent bodies. It's a really representative group. The president's appointed by not the minister. That's something that's quite interesting, quite a surprise to people. The governor appoints Tom Aliganaris at the moment, the president of the Board of Studies, who chairs those meetings. And they receive advice from people like me. And that advice goes up the chain and will go to the board meeting tomorrow about a whole range of matters, including the registration of schools and all those things. It's quite broad. Okay, so this process of syllabus development. Yeah, we'll get to that. These are the four steps. So at the moment, science, they've done a writing brief. I'll continue with science as the example, but it's the same for English, mathematics and history. There's a reason I want to focus on science, because we're part of science too. I'll get back to that. Science consultation on the writing brief. So the first stage of syllabus development is we bring together a board curriculum committee, experts around the state, recognise people from each learning area, each jurisdiction, Catholic Ed, independent schools and so on, perhaps industry, sit them around the table and say, okay, what is it we need to change? Here's what the Australian curriculum are doing. What do we want to do for New South Wales? Out of that, we draft a writing brief. And the first stage of consultation is to say to everyone in New South Wales, are we on the right track? Are we heading in the right direction with this brief that we've written to write a new physics curriculum? Now, the reason I'm mentioning that is because I think you should all have a say in that as well. Don't be shy to go online and fill in the survey for physics or chem or whatever, because my experience tells me that if English, math, science, history stay the same as they always are, the rest of the subjects when we get to them will stay the same as they always are. And Peter Thompson's view of the world is education needs to change. Now, there is a change happening, I believe. There's quite a swell of support for the sort of things that are happening in the writing brief. We've looked at the survey results already and things are moving very well. Don't be shy about whatever learning area you're from to get online and have a look, because I think there's some really interesting moves in that writing brief documents across the board about a change in New South Wales education that might be better for schools, teaching and learning. Have a look, it's worth your while. So that's the first stage. Of course, we bring all that feedback back to the board and we start writing a syllabus document based on the revised writing brief, based on the feedback from the stakeholders. Now, when and if this starts for technologies, you need to be active and have your say. Don't be shy. Don't think it's hard. You don't have to fill in a survey. You can just email the BozTes inspector. We think this faculty believes this should happen. It's enough. It goes in the consultation report and it will affect the future of the syllabus in New South Wales. We guarantee that because the consultation report is a public document, and you can certainly go on the board's website and see the consultation report for our technologies feedback to ACARA over the last 3 or 4 years. So consultation. Second phase, we're writing the syllabus. It's out for consultation too. So when the board and the minister make a decision about a new syllabus, it's a fair commitment. In New South Wales, it's a fair commitment. We're going to produce quite a range of things. All of this is part of the contract that when BOSTES develops a new syllabus, these are the things we would develop. We would develop some standard materials to show you what a grade A might look like. We will develop notes for principals so they know about the new syllabus document. We will support it in its initial implementation. So for K to 10 English, Math, Science, History, that's happened. Finish writing, board support materials on the website, there are sample teaching programs, there's all of this has been developed for those. And then there's a handover. It's quite interesting, it's formal, quite formal thing where Catholic Education held a meeting with BOSTES and basically it's now yours to support. So after the initial implementation of a syllabus, the systems support that implementation, or individual schools, as you know. So bottom line is the syllabus is not the Australian curriculum. If I use the example of English, Math, Science and History that's happened, the Australian curriculum content is embedded within that syllabus document. So if New South Wales teachers say they're teaching the Australian curriculum, it's not untrue, because the Australian curriculum content is embedded in it, but they're teaching beyond that and with more detail about that than they would if they just used the raw document. The Australian curriculum resources for English, Math, Science, History teachers are useful because those materials, that content is embedded in our syllabus outcomes. I boldface that issue because the weight of professional teachers' associations is very strong. A meeting such as this, sometime in the future, would be very useful to gather information that this association would feed into BOSTES about a future syllabus document. Very, very powerful, very useful, because we're cross-sector, professional teachers' associations, right across sectors, people are comfortable to speak up, and it often represents the opinion of the state from the teacher level. So again, be active and involved if and when, I keep saying, this happens. For those visual learners, there's a diagram to show that process. So consultation is the key. When that's out, try and notice it. I've had conversations before tonight in the tea room, you know, in the library over there about the board bulletins and so on. I'm sure you're aware, and I know the professional association people here are aware, how difficult it is to communicate to teachers. This is an amazing response, but we probably know that there's 150 other people who will say next week this meeting was on, and they'll say we never heard about it. I'll send a fax to 80 schools, 3 schools will have noticed it. Board bulletins, 39,000 go out, about 10,000 get read. We know that's an issue. When this starts to occur, let your colleagues know. When there's consultation happening, let your colleagues know, because we need everybody to get involved with this. Okay? Don't be shy. Right, so the opportunities. Consultation is obviously one. But when these things occur, syllabus drafts, writing briefs, drafts of a syllabus document, materials, the opportunity's there for consultation. But there's more. If you're keen in this area, you should already have expressed your interest to be a writer of curriculum. It's in job vacancies on the board website. Go there. If you have a bit of a passion for it, you have some experience in the area, you've got success in your school, get your name on our database, please. The more we have, the better it is for all subject areas. So again, spread the word on that. There will, as there is at the moment for English, Math, Science, History, Stage 6, there's advertisements for project managers, because the inspector doesn't manage that project. Part of the deal
is that the board will employ a project manager to write a new syllabus document. So for science, there's a project manager will be appointed for, I think, physics and chem. Then they will bring writers in to draft writing, write the document, and the whole project will be managed and people have to get paid and so on. So the dollars really do add up. Don't be shy about putting your name down to be a syllabus writer. Don't be shy about applying for the position of project manager. It's okay. It's a really interesting thing to do in your career. You may be out of school for a year, so that'll be up to your principal and so on, but trust me, it's a valuable experience long term. Really gives you a perspective on how things are working. So that's where it will go. As I said, there's a meeting tomorrow. There will be some recommendations put to the board, and I want to go on and talk about some other things so that you can see the sort of spin that I might have put on some recommendations. And I want to look a little bit further. You've heard about this, haven't you? I'm getting a little bit sick of hearing about it myself. You're there? I've heard about it since 2001. National Science Foundation, USA, that's the start of it. The STEM push. Interesting to see Ramilly, she was Judith Ramilly, she coined the expression about the science and maths being the bookends. The stuff you need to know so you could do real things. I really like that. But STEM now has about a million different flavours around the world, and if it looks, walks and talks, it's STEM, it seems. And there's STEM people coming out of, should I say, woodwork now all the time. And that's okay. But, you know, what is it? Well, again, after my little spiel about it, you might get an idea of my views on it. Is it important? Yeah, it sure is. It's a state priority. It's a national priority for Australia. And we've got a couple of things going on at the moment. I think it was in the ad for this. There's a document we're producing. It's called Coding Across the Curriculum, but I'd probably more refer to it as Computational Thinking Across the Curriculum. But that's a very large word that scares policy people in the building. How can we make it simple for people to understand? So coding is a simpler term, maybe not. That's going to have work, samples, work, examples of what you might be able to do in stage 1, stage 2, stage 3, stage 4, in every learning area, and will be on the board's website. I make no promises about this, but it should be within 3 weeks. It's on what we call the staging side already, and the final look at that's going on. And I have to thank a couple of fantastic ICT in New South Wales members for helping out doing that. They can tell you later if they're involved, but it certainly helps me. Again, it's part of the process at the BOS. I don't hold all the knowledge. The stakeholders do. Bring somebody in to do that. And I have to say it's a terrific document. All the inspectors at the BOS have had some involvement with it because, you know, the subtleties of using language in creative arts. The creative arts inspector needs to give me advice on that, and that's the stage we're at, just tweaking it a little bit. But I think it's terrific. The problem with this stuff, though, is, as you know, there's a new tech arrives every day that I could add to it, and new ideas about teaching things, but I think you'll find it quite useful. It's got links to all those online things for coding, CSER and all the things that are happening. Well, I shouldn't say all, because as you know, there's always a new one you discover in Twitter tonight about a new thing going on. But it's got lots of links to useful things for teachers. I'm quite happy with it. The other thing that's going on that I can't tell you about, but I will because the officers are already employed, is we have a cross-curricular STEM project manager who's developing units of work for each stage of learning right through to stage 6, and that's cross-curricular, so it's what I would refer to as integrative STEM, STEM that has science, maths, technology and engineering all rolled into a unit of work, and there'll be 6 up by the end of the year for that, and another 18, I think, by the end of next year. So Alicia Bleakley's got that job for 12 months or more. There's also a primary school STEM resource developer we've employed who's developing things for K-6. And my view of it all is it needs to be a little bit high-tech. It needs to make teachers who may not be as comfortable as this group is,
more comfortable with technology application in the real world. So that's the spirit of that. There's also a maths one coming on board. So Boz have three STEM officers working with us. Now, why would we do all that? I don't know if you know the CEDA. I didn't. Like the OECD, but for Australia. That's a report you need to read. I notice most of the audience are above 20 years of age. And if you're like me, exiting a career, it's still worth reading because you want this nation to be prosperous for the next 20 years. You want to advise young people on potential career opportunities that will arise out of the digital disruption that's coming. One of the things I've been saying at conferences recently is, you think we're in the information age? It's a trickle compared to a tsunami of what's going to happen in the next decade. And I'm sure many of you, all of you probably are aware of that, the impact of embedded systems and so on. A couple of nice figures for you to take back. More than 50% of the cost of developing a new car is in software now, not hardware. 50% of cost of development. These figures are from the Warren Centre at Sydney Uni. They're quite genuine. Average car produced today has 70 microprocessors. In 10 years, it will have 700. Interesting to think that the kids that are in infant school today probably won't be able to drive. That won't be allowed, because in the end, we just have to make the car smarter than a human, and we're doing okay. So there's some dramatic changes coming in the not-too-distant future. That quite comprehensive study looks at what careers are going to exist and what careers are at a greater chance of disappearing. There's some interesting figures in it. The one that I don't agree with, I have to say, is teachers. It says teachers are going to continue to exist into the future for the projected next 30 years. And I don't know about you, but I could see changes in teaching. Certainly online learning has impact already. And I think in some jurisdictions around the world, the change will be more to online learning models with teacher supervisors. That's another story. That's important for you if you don't know about it. And then in 2014, Ian Chubb released this. And it's about STEM being Australia's future. 70% of future jobs, most advancing jobs, most popular jobs will require STEM skills. So I say that's fine. I wonder if he's talking about the same STEM skills that I'm talking about. Earlier tonight I said, science, you're part of that. When Ian Chubb, the Chief Scientist of Australia, or Mary O'Kane, the Chief Scientist and Engineer of New South Wales, talks about science, they're talking about information science, they're talking about mathematics, they're talking about engineering, they're talking about technology. For them, the whole thing is science because it's not the arts. So be aware that when you hear these political people talk science, including our Prime Minister, who gave an excellent speech last Tuesday night about science leading Australia's future, they're talking about our things as well. For me, technology education. They're talking about that as well. So be aware of those things. This is from the Chief Scientist document. It is everywhere, and we need people that are savvy in it, and as you know, we don't have enough. We certainly don't have enough to teach them at the moment. That's too hard to read, and I'm waffling on, so I'll keep moving. Keep an eye on the time. AIG, Australian Industry Group. Similar outcomes. Worth a read. Helps you with that argument, perhaps with a supervisor, a principal, a school board. When you're doing a presentation, you can pull out real figures about the importance of this stuff. Now, this stuff for me is the breadth of technology education. Your focus might be ICT or digital, but it's all this stuff. It's physics too, it's extension maths as well. But more importantly, it's for every citizen that we produce out of our schools. It's important stuff. They make these points. It's based on an English document Oxford University did, found similar results in the UK. I don't think it's scary myself. A lot of people worried about it. You know, the robots are going to rule the world, all that sort of thing. Not so. It turns out it will create a lot of employment, especially at technician and technologist levels. Somebody does have to fit the device in the smart home. You still need to solder and use a screwdriver, for example. But more and more people will need those skills. And as we know from our looking at digital tech, Acara style, more and more people will need coding skills, algorithmic thinking, computational thinking and so on. More and more will need it. So it's an important understanding for the future. These are some of the mega learnings, I call them. Got various names. General capabilities is the Acara term. We don't use that in New South Wales. We say cross-curriculum learning content. And I was reminded today while I sat with my director about what is it I can tell them tonight? He said, just remind people that if they're teaching the New South Wales syllabuses, they're teaching all those capabilities anyway. They're embedded in the syllabus documents. ICT is a focus for tonight. I can tell you that in the new K-10 English syllabus, there's 400% more references to ICT than there was in the previous document. Over 400, it's about 413% more references to ICT used to teach and use, learn about English than there was in the previous syllabus from 10 years ago, when we still in New South Wales had a cross-curriculum document about ICT across the curriculum a decade ago. It's only just been recently taken down from the website. That refers to all the old syllabus, so I had to remove it. But in the new one, it's huge. It's there. They're supposed to do blogging. They're supposed to do all sorts of things. Just like in technology mandatory, there's a nice paragraph in the syllabus that says every project should involve ICTs. I wonder how many actually do that, but as I'm a board inspector, I don't ask that question too often, but it's there in the syllabus, just look for it. So these skills, they're pretty important. Yeah, okay, now this stuff's actually from a US employment site called iSeek. And I look at them and I go, well, that's what I teach, I think. It's what I've been teaching for a long time. Guys with the devices, we're going to put this online. You can have it with the links and stuff. It's okay, I think. I can share this. I have to take the BOS stuff off it, but it's okay if I share this. It's all, in the end, it's public information, but I'm fortunate to be in a position now in my career where I can actually absorb this and summarise it for colleagues. It's one of the best things of my job. Okay, now I'm preaching to the converted, aren't I? Of course I am. That's a worry. This is the percentage of first degrees in all universities in these countries that are doing something you might identify as STEM. So percentage of all university undergraduates, and the careers are science, engineering and manufacturing. So science is the dark blue, engineering and manufacturing, that includes ICT stuff, is the lime green colour. Australia are fairly low down here. USA are number four. Let me give you a quote from McDonnell Douglas from 2012, presentation at an international conference. McDonnell Douglas, they make planes, rockets, so on. If they employed every engineer undergraduate in the USA, every single person doing an undergraduate degree in 2012 in the USA, it would meet half of their needs. So every graduate in every university in America, and they're number four, remember, if McDonnell Douglas employed them all, that would only meet 50% of their requirements for engineers and ICT people. The developed world is desperate for the sort of knowledge that we teach children. Absolutely desperate. Ian Chubb, Chief Scientist, thinks we've already missed the boat. I hope not, because in my retirement, I want it to be a prosperous first world nation. This is Australian data. It's from one of those reports that I've mentioned before. It's about business and industry. Where have you had difficulty? And where do you anticipate difficulty in employing the appropriate skills for your industry? Technicians and trade workers, very, very big. And it's a continuing worry for the future. Those people need those technical skills and further, of course.
I'm going to move on now to embedded systems. The IoT, the Internet of Things. That tsunami of change that's going to happen. The 700 microprocessors in your average car. I think they'll need a sophisticated processor to count how many there'll be in a Mercedes-Benz. But as you know, those top-end cars are already quite sophisticated with collision avoidance, automatic braking, automatic parking, all those sorts of things. High probability, 40%. The way work is conducted will change. Million jobs, high probability of being replaced in the next decade or two. They're the kids you've got in school right now. They need skills for the future right now. Interesting stuff at the bottom though. Automation? Yeah, very common. I get a coffee every morning and a lovely girl serves me and I worry about her future because I know there's already a lovely device in Boston that, you know, if I put the app on my phone, knows that I'm approaching and has the coffee made for me. It even does the facial recognition and says, good morning, Peter, you're having a good day. And by the way, your first meeting is with Howard at 9:30. It knows more than lovely Rachel who's serving me. I wonder what she might be doing in the future. So, okay, we need this stuff. There's articles everywhere. But we have an existing curriculum, and it's one of the messages that I wanted to give you tonight about, yeah, you know, it'd be fantastic if I stood up here tonight at the start and said, digital technologies curriculum, fantastic, we're doing it next year. I say, why aren't you doing it already? We have all these curriculum documents in New South Wales that are open enough for you to do it right now or last year. Don't be scared to push that, because we need it, obviously. So Sansakara, just in terms of BOSTES, Board of Studies as a Curriculum Authority, looking at this, it's a no-brainer. Me personally, as a, you know, a tech guy who was making games with kids in Year 7 20 years ago, it's a no-brainer. We need more people to do it. There's also other opportunities. iSTEM, robotics and forensics, are school-developed board-endorsed courses that I've approved in the last 3 years. A school can be doing something different to existing curriculum, can apply for a school-developed board-endorsed course. We look at it. Is it overlapping anything else? No, it isn't. The school gets approval, and the best thing out of that is ends up on the student's ROSA. So it's just like a board-endorsed course, but it's school-developed. The iSTEM course is now taught in over 50 schools. So I checked it this morning. Over 50 schools. Hunter is the source of it, and Maitland-Grossman High School and Scott Sleep is an absolute world leader. It's an integrated technology course. Yes, using computational thinking and fluid dynamics and physics and mathematics. It's on Maitland-Grossman website. The way that works, like all school-developed board-endorsed courses, is if the school approves your school to use it, you fill in a form and away you go. It's available as a 100 and a 200 hour, and it's potentially a future curriculum that's becoming so popular. So iSTEM's one, and Scott, I've checked, and he's happy for me to advertise that. It's a real integrated STEM curriculum. It is, as I said, it is a world leader, no risk. I can say that with confidence, looking at what's happening in Finland, USA, UK, Germany. Yep, we're doing all right. Anybody seen this document before? No, I know you can't read it, but you recognise if you've seen it. No? Megan Vasey at AIS. Megan's the STEM consultant with the Association of Independent Schools. She's so good to me. This is a mapping of all the opportunities for coding, computational thinking across the curriculum. Page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5. It's a really useful document. If you just Google AIS and STEM, you'll find the page, her page. Lots of resources on there. So she says to me, well, why aren't they doing it? It's in your syllabuses, Pete. It's in your syllabuses. Why aren't they doing it? Megan's not a teacher background. Engineer. So sometimes I have to, you know, explain to you, you need to be cognizant of how busy teachers are and all those things. Also a PhD in computer science. So it helps. It really helps the arguments. How long? Thank you. This is an American program called Understanding by Design. It's worth a look as well. It's broader than just computational thinking. It takes on something that in New South Wales we've tried to embed in technology curriculum for a long time. And that is that our students, whether they're studying software design or textiles and design, understand that the solution to a problem may not be in your area. The best solution may be not a computer solution. We expect our highest level of student to understand that. In the Australian curriculum is a nice term, preferred futures. And our design thinking model that we've had for decades now is about that. And if the computational solution is a good one that's most appropriate, excellent. We still need to evaluate that, but in the bigger picture, we want them to make a judgment about that, a reasoned judgment about whether that design is best. UBD, as it's called in the States, does that. That's a breakthrough in America, by the way. They don't do the design thinking thing very much at all. I've only got a few minutes, so I'm going to zip through because my next hobby horse is about project-based learning, and you're hearing a lot about that. Be comfortable that it's the best way to teach our subjects. My view is if you don't teach by PBL, they might as well go off and do business studies. Oh, that's right, a lot of them are, aren't they? So we need to take that on board, folks. Let's make it real for the kids. So we've got to prepare them for this future. I know if you've seen those, certainly in California, but now also in Goulburn, New South Wales. Tesla have put in charging stations so you can drive your Tesla vehicle to Canberra. There's six in Goulburn. Again, the world's changing. STEM's been surveyed for a long time, but I look at this and I see it as a design process model that we've used in New South Wales since, I think, 1983 is the first recording I can find of that. It's a, they call it informed design model. But probably most interesting for you is that there's a Centre for STEM Research at Hofstra in the States. They've been running with National Science Foundation funding for over a decade. And most of what I've said tonight, Mike Hacker and the crew there would certainly believe with me. So the STEM thing, for me, you know, it's not that or that or that. I would forget about STEM almost. We can't because it's a label that people are attached to, funding's attached to. For me, it's about this. It's about good quality pedagogy. It's about learning well. It's about integrated learning, doing a project with students. These are the things that are the keys to that. If you can set up projects with students that have a driving question, some subjects would call it a design brief or a challenge or a specification. Go back, Pete. Sorry, Leanne. There's relevance of it, so it's real to them in the real sense, in real in their life, not just a hypothetical that you made up. They've got some voice and choice around it. And the public audience doesn't mean you have to run a display, but that work is going to be shown to others. They're the things that make PBL powerful and make learning powerful. Don't be shy to do it because it's the best way, in my view, to teach our learning area. This slide I use a lot because it's about the challenge now. Because we know we have to control those little year nine boys and girls sometimes. And Australian culture of schools is quite difficult compared to others in the world. I've had the pleasure of sitting at the back of classrooms in different parts of the world and the kids just work. What's going on here? Now, in that future of education we talked about right at the start, where there's more independence and maybe there's online learning is more and more a part of it, we're going to have a generation of students in Australia who have to get used to that, I think, pretty quickly. We need to start teaching them that now. That's a promotion. So I'll finish there before I do my ad and see if there's any questions. But I hope that helps. Remember, board meeting's tomorrow.
Peter.